Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is writer Anthony Cleveland, who has a new comic series coming out this fall in September from Mad Cave Studios, Stargazer. And it's all about alien abductions and the aftermath of such. Welcome, Anthony.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Now, Stargazer, is this an ongoing title, limited series?
It'll be 6-issue series run from September until 6 months from September. So, everything pending. It looks like, yeah, September's our month. That's the pre-order date. Hopefully it won't get delayed again.
Cool. So talk about what Stargazer is exploring.
My quickest pitch for Stargazer is it's a Stephen King story directed by Steven Spielberg. So it's a mix of, I'd say, Close Encounters and probably Stephen King's It. It starts in the 90s. We see, I think 4 kids, and they experience something some night and they can't explain it. And about, like, I don't know, like, we'll say 20 years later, as adults, they're forced to, come face to face with what the truth is, I guess, what they brushed off all those years ago, and see what actually happened that night.
Cool. We don't want to go into too many spoilers, but the artwork and the intrigue of the first issue has me a little hooked, wanting to find out more where this story goes. But what, other than Steven Spielberg and Stephen King, inspired sort of an alien abduction version of It?
I think a lot of this came from, in the 90s, the UFOs were everywhere. X-Files was on TV, Unsolved Mysteries. I think every week had an UFO story or abduction story or something like that. And I saw that stuff pretty young as a kid. And like, when you watch, I guess, like Unsolved Mysteries or things like that, like the feel like news shows, you don't know the difference when you're that young. So I thought, UFOs are real always. And well, they are real, I guess, but abductions could happen at any time to me, to anyone I know. And that was, scary. And I think a lot of the Stargazer comes from that fear. So, I mean, it is sci-fi, there's mystery, but there's definitely that anxiety that I felt in the 90s in this book, and a little bit of horror tossed in as well.
Well, the explosion, I should say, or the resurgence of questions about UFO phenomenon has been going on, I'm going to say increasing, for quite a while. Because I remember when Ancient Aliens first came on History Channel, it's got to be a little over 10 years now. And I was so fascinated with the stories these guys come up with. And every year they raised questions where you say, no, that can't wait a minute. And then every year there were more stories about aliens. You had UFO hunters. You had, there's actually another UFO hunters show on right now. There's 2 shows on History Channel. There was a fictionalized dramatization of Project Blue Book, which was a real thing back in the 50s. That was on History Channel for 2 seasons, 2 wonderful seasons, and we need more. But that's my argument with History Channel, and not appropriate for this conversation. But just seeing the increase in interest in UFO phenomenon, along with the Navy releasing, it's like, well, hey, you're in a pandemic, you're bored, here, have some documentation.
Right. I don't know. Like, I think it's a lot to do with the internet. It's easy to make a meme and share something. Like, we have, the aliens meme from Ancient Aliens you see everywhere, with the dude with the crazy hair. You have Raid Area 51.
I still don't know what that was all about. I still have no idea what this, okay, we're going to Naruto run down to Area 51. I'm like, really?
That had to be my favorite meme since I've been alive. It cracked me up. And the fact that some folks went there and just hung out, that's fun to me. But yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with the internet. And like, you know, we have people making YouTube videos, capturing things on their own. There's a lot of evidence that's being gathered more often. There's a lot more community, and it's you know, more tight than what it's been, I guess, since it's growing and social media is so accessible now.
Yeah. And I do wonder how much of what we dismissed 30 years ago really did happen, because we're now having more and more people have access to video equipment. They're reporting these phenomenon. There's stuff from South America that I had never even heard of before. Stuff from China that they've been suppressing for years. And you have to wonder, it's like, okay, what's really going on? Because all of this, every part of it, cannot possibly be explained by weather balloons and swamp gas.
No, I mean, what's interesting now with the Navy and the Pentagon coming out is they confirmed there's something out there. They don't know what it is. They've ruled that, I mean, them releasing it means, you know, it's not Russian, it's not Chinese, it's not, you know, I don't know, something that they can't identify. I'm not going to say it's not from this earth or anything like that, but there's something out there that they don't know what it is. And that's all they're sharing with us now. That's like, I guess, soft disclosure. I'm sure there's more, a lot more that they know and these other countries know, but that's all they're going to throw us for now.
Yeah. I remember, I think it was in 99 or somewhere between 99 and 2001, the British agency that was tasked with tracking UFO phenomenon around the United Kingdom. One of the guys who shows up on Ancient Aliens, Nick Pope, was in charge of it. They released a whole lot of documents about the incident at the airbase there. What was it? Rendlesham Forest incident.
Oh, sure.
And yeah. I remember hearing about these documents. I went to this site and downloaded a ton of PDFs, which was a digitization of the reports. I'm like, holy crap, really? And
yeah,
was just,
I heard about them, but yeah.
Yeah, it was just fascinating to me. And so we've had these documents being collected ostensibly since Project Blue Book in the 50s. And they've collected all this information and nobody's talking about it. And that's what fascinates me. It's like, why can't we get more people, you know, with the scientific background, with the physics background, with the space background, to look at this information and try to figure out what's really going on?
There's so many reports that have been filed from, you know, pilots, up in the sky. I think ever since, not ever since, but I remember in World War II, they used to see them so often, the UFOs, they would call them, you know, Foo Fighters. That's where the name came from, the UFOs. It's been going on for a while. And like anytime you get someone credible that, you know, really shrugs off being a part of the UFO community and all the craziness that comes with it, those are the folks you need to listen to. Or the folks that, you know, have a lot on the line that they could lose by coming out and saying this stuff. That's the people you should listen to, because there's not a lot of money in the UFO community to get, you know, to, I don't know, you can do speaking events, you can write a book, but like it's still really, really niche right now. There's not a lot, you know, I don't know, you're not going to get away with becoming rich and famous from saying you saw a UFO. Yeah. No matter what your status is.
Yep. That's
Jimmy Carter said he saw one, and you know, nothing came from that either.
Yeah, it's amazing the amount of effort put in to discrediting people who said they saw something from the 60s, and it's just propagated throughout the decades. That, you know, you just, your first instinct is, oh, they were drunk, they were high.
Yeah.
So with Stargazer, where do you see more stories after this 6 issues run is done? Do you want to do more for in the storyline, or and you know, follow another group of people who saw something they can't explain?
I don't think so. This is going to be these 6 issues, but yeah, I don't think I want to come back to UFOs again. I did like getting this out of me, because yeah, like I said, as a kid, UFOs scared the crap out of me. There was this this is early 90s. So there's this found footage movie called, I think there's a bunch of names for it, but one of the titles is like The Nick Pearson's Tape. It starts out at this birthday party, and then the guests see, you know, lights in the woods. So they go out there and they see a ship, and then one by one, they all get kind of taken. And, you know, like, this is before Blair Witch. This is way, way before Blair Witch. So I'm seeing this as a kid, and it's completely real. Shot on like home video, mm-hmm. and it's completely real to me. And yeah, that'll scar you good as a kid. Seeing like, it's shot pretty well for, you know, what they had VHS. So they just shot, you know, some lights in the woods and had like kids in the distance with, you know, alien mask on. So you can't really see it. And it's a VHS, so it's grainy. So your mind fills in the blanks, and it's, whenever your mind does that, whatever you're seeing is more creepy than what's, you know, actually being filmed. And yeah, lots of nightmares.
So you don't feel the need to write more about UFOs in the future.
What? I think I've exercised all I can with it.
So you've got it out of your system. Okay. How long did it take to come up with the storyline for Stargazer and write it and get it to Mad Cave Studios?
Sure. With Mad Cave, most of their work is work for hire. Mm-hmm. So they'll tell me kind of generally what they want to do with the IP, and I'll toss my ideas or my direction I want to do, and usually we meet in the center. But yeah, I think Stargazer started out a lot more when what I pitched was a lot more weird. I think I dipped into all the crazy UFO theories. I wanted to like send a love letter to that, you know, kind of community. So I like had the reptiles in there. I had, what else? Time travel, dimensions, all kinds of stuff like that. But, we met, or, you know, way back from that. And like, this still has a lot of, the theories that the community likes, you know, it focuses on consciousness, orbs, what they could possibly be. But yeah, it's far different from where I wanted it, and it's better off for that, I'll add.
How much feedback or research with the UFO community did you do to sort of fine tune some of the elements you put in the story?
I brushed up mostly. I had a couple books I grew up with as a kid. They're alien books aimed at elementary kids pretty much. So I flipped through some of those, and that was actually a pretty good starting point to go and look at and investigate some cases, some abduction cases and things like that. But I think it was mostly podcasts and documentaries for this comic, which is different because normally my reading list is so huge if I'm researching something. But this is just listening and watching and taking notes.
which documentaries really, really grabbed you about this?
I think it's called Unacknowledged. I think it's on Netflix. I'm probably saying that wrong or getting the title wrong anyway. But that kind of covers, you know, everything, like the big cases, the Phoenix Lights, where like a triangle shaped ship flew over for like two states, I think. Yeah. Like it covers all that, and it talks about some declassified stuff. That was a good starting point. Lots of podcasts. Whichever one, there's a Bob Lazar was on Joe Rogan. That one helped out a lot. Just to hear some of those ideas, and a lot of Last Podcast on the Left. That was pretty influential. There's even a character that's kind of inspired by Henry Zebrowski from that in the Stargazer. That's a big part of it.
Cool. So you said you exercised a few inner demons by writing this story. What sort of promotions are you going through? Because this doesn't come out till September, and you know, like you said it earlier, it was supposed to come out earlier, but pandemic happened.
It's been a long I took about 3 months off when the book was announced to be delayed, and that's kind of when lockdown happened too. But yeah, now we're jumping back into it and stuff. It's hard to get that when you, you first hear it being announced, you got that motivation, you're ready to go. And then like something terrible like COVID happens, and that like you feel bad for wanting to come out and promote the book after, you know, what everything's going on, people are going through. So yeah, I guess it's kind of been difficult to come back to it. I'm trying to keep it as fun as I can. Trying to keep, you know, the anytime I see like a new alien story being shared, like Unsolved Mysteries just came back, so I'll load up Twitter with like, you know, some story to check out, other convincing, or at least interesting abduction cases, things like that. And there's been a couple of even the hoax videos. I'm all about the story, so if I see something cool, like I know most of these are fake, but like I think Brazil just had one. I forget what it was called. And like that stuff is fun to me. I don't care if it's real or not. Sometimes you just like to have, you know, spooky, ooky vibes. And a lot of those videos give it out.
Yeah. And, you know, some of these things can't be explained yet. What's the thing? Sufficiently advanced science is indistinguishable from magic. It's entirely possible. Mm-hmm. We just haven't figured it out yet. We don't know everything. It's impossible for us to know absolutely everything, and we're still figuring stuff out. I mean, I just saw something on Twitter that they're questioning string theory. I'm like, really?
Right. So I'm always like, something about the dimensions that they thought they found in Antarctica a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm. Always so it's like, you guys are hurting my brain. How can I keep up with all this stuff? There's too much to watch. Anyway, but it's still fun to come across these theories and these, you know, revisiting a theory and going, yeah, we had that calculation a little bit wrong. Here's what we think might be really going on. And you're like, oh, okay, cool.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
So as a writer, what are you working on next, or what do you have lined up to work on next?
I believe Mad Cave and I are going to do a sequel to Shozen, the first series I wrote for them.
Okay.
So, waiting for that one to get started. And right now it's stockpiling pitches, trying to get more things into work or, you know, happen. Trying to get back into horror. That's what I would like to write the most is, like my only goal as like a comic writer is like, I just want to tell like one of my horror stories and I'm done. Like, I don't need to, you know, pursue Marvel, DC, any of that stuff. Like, that happens, awesome, but like I just want to tell a few of my stories and I'm gonna bounce out of here.
Like,
so, yeah, horror is what I'm focusing on.
Cool. Talk about that. You have like a graphic novel involved, a limited series. What's your pie in the sky?
I'm just pitching around like I think it's a 5-issue series. It's I don't want to go too much into it, but it's a combination of true crime and fairy tale, all told in like, you know, the horror genre. So it's an interesting hybrid from a local serial killer in my area from the early 1900s.
Nice.
Kind of a spin on that. Yeah, something different.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of horror, especially like some of the comics interpretations have been absolutely mind-blowing. What was it? Victor Laval had one come out a couple years ago, and then there was one that came out earlier this year or last fall, Something's Killing the Children.
I ordered that just, I think, last week, the trade paperback. I can't wait to read that.
Yeah, those are some fascinating stories, and hopefully you will get your horror graphic novel out there, because I would definitely line up to see this, because like I said I like what I've seen so far in Stargazer, so I'm curious to follow your other stories. Where can people find you online and follow what you are doing?
Sure. I'm at anthonycleveland.com. There's some story samples up there, all illustrated, and on Twitter and Instagram, at @ant_cleveland. Both IG and Twitter.
Cool. Now, comics is your preferred medium?
It wasn't at first. I started out in film. But yeah, I've always loved comics. And like, you learn the limitations of film, indie film especially, and having to depend on, you know, more than just like yourself and one other person, and just comics came naturally from that, what I learned from film. And yeah, this is, I wouldn't want to go anywhere else.
What prompted the shift from screenwriting to comics writing?
I always like wanted to probably just make my own films, you know, write them and shoot them and do, you know, from there. But then there's a lot of folks you have to depend on to shoot even the simplest stuff, the simplest ideas. And it's hard to, like, because everyone has to be in that same spot at the same time and getting schedules to line up with how busy everything is. Like in college, it was okay because, you know, everyone had credit they needed to do with you. So you could get them there and you could work on each other's projects and you can get it done. Post-college, everyone has, you know, bills, loans that they got to pay off, and it's harder to get free time. And, you know, you move apart too. Everybody moves apart. So it's hard to keep it all together. So yeah, it was just always independent. I always wanted to keep it independent until, you know, the stories I wanted to tell mostly. And I didn't want to do the Hollywood gauntlet, all that craziness. So yeah, film was just, comics was like the best way to do it, I guess.
Cool. Well, we will provide everyone with links to where they can find you and Stargazer and keep track of what other things you're working on. Anthony, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction. Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking, in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic? We've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up-to-date? Jennifer R. Donahue's Surveillance Fatigue has you covered. In every sense. From classic space opera to intimate character drama, from heroic alien pets waiting for their families, to herds of literal Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching, Escape Pod has it all at escapepod.org. So buckle up, because it's story time.
Hi guys, this is Tom Allison, and I play Pree on Killjoys, and you're listening to A Slice of Sci-Fi.
And as a reminder, Stargazer issue number 1 is out today, September 2nd, from Mad Cave Studios. So go check it out, purchase it, download it, enjoy it. I think it's available electronically. Pretty sure. I will have to check Mad Cave Studios' website again to make sure. But go grab it. The story is intriguing, and I cannot wait to get my hands on issue number 2. Given the increased focus on indie comics and indie comics creators during these pandemic times, I am going to try to get a few more comics writers on, both here on Slice of Sci-Fi and over at Writers After Dark. So keep an eye out for that. And also, the long-awaited Star Wars discussion episode is out. It's over on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/sliceofsci-fi. And yes, the audio of it will be appearing here in a little bit, a little while. Special episode kind of thing. But what are you looking forward to now that the fall TV season is here without TV or without as much TV as usual? Is there anything in particular that is coming out that you are looking forward to? Tell us your answers or ask your questions. The number to use is 602-635-6976, or you can shoot me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can follow Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio Podcasts. If you're listening on Apple or Stitcher, please consider leaving us a review. That'll help raise our profile on those platforms and let people know that you are enjoying the show and maybe they should check it out for themselves. You can follow us on Twitter at Slice of Sci-Fi. And yes, I do dive into conversations over there, probably more than I should, but hey, I have to have hobbies. And as I said, you can follow us on YouTube. Check out some of the videos over there. That's youtube.com/sliceofscifi. And of course, there is the website, sliceofscifi.com. Come on over, check out other interviews that we've done and reviews of movies, TV shows, comic books, graphic novels, and the occasional long-form opinion piece. One example of which is the essay on how the Fast and Furious franchise switched gears and went from being a series of heist movies to a series of, shall we say, Earth-based space opera adventures. Seriously, Fast Five is where this franchise switched from action drama to science fiction drama. And then Seven was pure space opera. Go check it out. I'd like to thank everyone who is currently supporting this podcast, this website, all of the shows in the Slice of Sci-Fi universe. Your support, your pledges, your donations are greatly appreciated. If you wish to add your support, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. You can sign up for one of the tiers, become eligible to receive a perk every month. Somebody gets a free book, a free DVD, a free Blu-ray from the selection I have here at hand. And yes, I need to find homes for some of these materials because I do not have the space. And if a monthly pledge is something you don't want to commit to at the moment, you can use the PayPal link, paypal.me/scifisummer. And yes, keep an eye out. Sometime this weekend, Labor Day weekend, the giveaway for the 4K copy of the animated feature Batman Hush will begin. Some lucky Slice of Sci-Fi listener will become the new owner of that. But that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi in just a few days. Take care.